You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Woo! That's a bad outfit! Woo!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough!
Am I the baddest mofo no down around this town?
Sure enough!
Well, who am I?
Sure enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, geeksters, issue 103 of Geek Watch 1. And Cassie is providing lots of entertainment for everybody.
She was quiet until we were about to record, and then she starts running around.
She was chewing that ball.
She perked up as soon as you said her name.
There's the ear.
So, geeksters, welcome to our next Oddmall show.
That's right.
But this one's going to be a little different, because we're going to talk about our memories of Oddmall from the Knight Center in Akron that we talked about.
Oh, so long ago.
But we're not all dead tired, because this is actually the next day.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. Well,
we're still on a level of tired.
Yes. Some of us went to work.
I was at work today, too.
After
too.
Oddmall?
Yeah.
Not right after Oddmall.
Not right, yeah.
That's because some of us aren't crazy.
I don't deny those claims.
Some of us don't work for family.
Yeah.
That's what makes me crazy.
Yeah.
But this show is also going to be our Guardians of the Galaxy recap.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I am Groot. So,
that's right.
We're all Groot.
We are Groot.
Well, we are Groot. Sorry.
That's right.
Groot. No, I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot.
That's right.
Or
exactly.
Groot.
Wouldn't you watch your language?
Well, yeah. Yeah, we're gonna have to talk about your language here. But before we get into Guardians, this one's kind of a loaded question now. But what do you guys do this past week?
Ah, you're funny.
A little thing called Oddmall.
We had the largest Oddmall ever had by anybody anywhere.
It's true.
It was big.
It was huge.
You had it. What was the estimate on the amount of people you think were actually there?
This is a conservative estimate at 12,000 people.
Which is, because usually we're averaging about, what, 8?
I think we had about 10 last time.
Yeah, it was 10.
So this was the Star Wars celebration of Oddmalls.
Yeah.
From the open, like just a huge crush both days, and it was just like nonstop.
Well, we're doing this thing now where at opening, the first 50 people every day get an Oddmall swag bag that's filled with stuff from vendors and stuff from us, so that encourages more people to come in right at the start of the show. Yeah. So Andy said it took about 2 minutes for the first 50 bags to be taken on Saturday.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And they got pretty crammed with stuff. The vendors were into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There was a lot
of
stuff.
We will continue that tradition.
We had more vendors than ever, too, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. We had 268 vendors. Well, I guess that's not entirely true because some of them had more than one booth. But
and also some of them are Phantom.
More than 250.
Yes.
More than 250. Phantom Booth Productions.
Oh, yeah, there is. Phantom Booth Productions has a couple of booths in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where Andy...
Cartographical error.
Cartography mistake that it would take us some time to really fix, and why bother? So it's just Phantom Booth Productions. But more than 250.
Yeah.
Vendors.
But we had some stuff this time that we have never had at Oddmall before.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll start with not the least of which, if I may be so bold as to do so. May I?
Go ahead.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
This is a group discussion.
This is the Geek Watch 1 crew. I gotta make sure.
I know. You're as much part of the crew as anybody else.
I don't know about what we were doing in the back room.
Well,
I wasn't.
Oh, no.
She's just chewing on
this. This is not Geek Watch 1 after dark.
Anyway, no, we had for the first time ever, live on stage at Oddmall, Peeps getting married. Like, literally.
Yes.
My man Dale Harding, wedding officiant, was there. And he wedded, Gigi and Tom, I believe that's their name. I hope I got their name correct. And then two young fellows by the names of Griffin and Jeffrey, I think. Does that sound
Jeffrey
right?
Or Gavin?
Jason.
Gavin. I don't know.
Sorry, it started with
my apologies. They both started the same way.
My apologies to the newlyweds.
Yeah. But no, it was awesome. They got up and they read their vows, and it was right in front of a whole bunch of geeky strangers.
It was cool.
Oh, yeah.
And it was blast. And,
Dale said that actually on Sunday. Yeah. He had another couple that showed up with a license and actually got married at his table.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, wow.
Because they didn't feel comfortable up on the stage in front of everybody. But so three couples got legally married at Oddmall this weekend. Super cool.
So now not only are you getting people together, you're allowing them to get married at your shows.
That's true.
If anybody doesn't know, Andy has this reputation of, if he introduces you to someone of the opposite sex, you're eventually
not necessarily
married.
The opposite sex.
If you make a love connection.
Yes. Andy is very known for
Andy's
making
Captain
love connections.
Stubing.
Yeah.
Of the love boat that is Oddmall.
Get out your pen and paper.
Actually, it's
the
a
love doctor is about to speak.
It's a discussion not necessarily for the podcast, but Andy and I have kind of racked up a number of people that we've hooked over the years.
Heather and I have introduced so many. There are so many babies that
I was going to say, isn't there? At some point, how many babies you're responsible for?
Yeah.
That aren't our own.
Right.
That aren't your own. You're right.
Some we don't even know about.
And the new shirts you had were a hit, too.
The
Oddmall love shirts, those were awesome.
Maybe we could post one on the page so everyone can see them.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I will do that.
Sweet. Yeah, I thought my brother designed that kind of gay pride themed rainbowy lowlife shirt, or not lowlife shirt, Oddmall shirt
with the Sasquatch.
Yeah, what's an Odwin is the name of that Sasquatch.
Yeah,
because he's in the Pacific Northwest, and inspired by him, we made these that say love in rainbow, with the O is the Oddmall eyeball.
Yeah,
symbol of the Illuminati.
Yeah. more coming on that soon.
Yeah. Or not.
Depending. Oh no, it's a secret society.
That's not that we're telling people about.
Right.
But speaking of babies, we may have had the youngest vendor ever this year. Because Chris Pavalko of Salamander Forge.
Yeah.
He and his lady Alyssa had a baby barely a couple months ago now.
Yeah.
Ooh,
and
wow.
On Sunday she came with Daddy to the show and was at his booth with him.
Aww.
So she may have been the youngest vendor ever there.
Yeah, a month.
She's
a month now. A month.
Next time I'm delivering a baby at all.
the funny thing is we're laughing at this. Manny says
some water.
Stuff like that.
It's gonna happen.
Eventually.
Andy will just randomly say something like that.
I mean, if it's at the night center especially, it's not that far from the hospital.
We have done in a week and a half.
We can do it outdoors.
In the river.
You could always do a baptism in the river.
Ooh, that's exciting. Illuminati baptism.
The Illuminati baptism.
I can add that.
The reason all this crazy stuff seems plausible for us and sometimes actually ends up happening is because we're more of a community at this point than an individual event.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Oddmall is a family. You know,
it is.
Absolutely.
It's not just the staff and the volunteers, but I feel like everyone that comes through that door.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a really great conversation. There was an older couple. They had been married for 40-something years. This was, like, I believe their 43rd. It was their 43rd wedding anniversary.
Wow.
They drove from Ashtabula, like an hour away, to Oddmall for their anniversary.
Oh,
and
nice.
And I just, it happened. They were sitting at a table, and the lady's like, has anyone ever told you you look like? And I interrupted her with Danny DeVito. She's like, yeah. So then I said that, had a big conversation with them. And they had just an amazing time. They were so happy and they just really
good.
Dug it. So people are actually traveling to Oddmall for like anniversaries and stuff now. So it's pretty cool. I'm happy with it.
Well, that's awesome. Another thing that was a little different this time was you were actually posted up right inside the door the whole time.
Yeah.
So anybody coming to Oddmall could have met you and talked to you. As much as
an honor for them, right?
It was a struggle to find Andy this year.
Yeah, you actually knew where Andy was most of the time.
Looking for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually, it worked out really well because I got to kind of, a few reasons. One, we had the donation stations up there and people paid a little more attention to them with someone staying there. Like, as everyone knows, Oddmall is free to get in, but we appreciate donations. And that's kind of how we stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped out quite a bit. But I like to just kind of get a sense of who's there and how many people are there and stuff like that. And I was able to pretty well because I kind of estimated by counting how many people that came by actually grabbed one of our maps. And I knew how many maps I started with and how many I ended with. So if like 1 in 12 people actually took a map, which is about what it came out to, mm-hmm. and I had 20 maps out of 1,000 left at the end, that's a little over 12,000 people. So that's where I came up with that number.
Okay.
But I like just the fact that everyone knew where I was, so if there was a problem, they knew how to find me. And I like to get to meet people, introduce them, and welcome them to Oddmall, and mm-hmm. explain about the various jazzes and snazzes and zazzes that go on at Oddmall.
And I think you
not
were,
so many zazzes, but mostly
you were pointing out the little scavenger hunt you do with the,
yeah.
the peeps because more we had more people yes. at our booth getting those yep. those signs yeah. signed than yeah. we have ever before.
Pretty like, much every group that came by, everyone that got a map. So yeah. that's 880 people.
Because a lot of people don't pay attention to what that is, what the right. photo is on yeah. that map.
I explained it to all of them.
Yeah, and
also
a lot
think,
of them were coming by.
I think it helped with attendance at the panels and the Kid Cave mm-hmm. and the entertainment because when they got a map, I explained, mm-hmm. here's the entertainment schedule
yeah.
and stuff like that. Plus, we had those cool... lines on the ground out of yeah. mm-hmm. duct tape to say here's where the Kid Cave is.
I actually did hear people talk about them saying, okay, yeah. they said follow the green line. They said follow the pink. Like, I actually yeah. saw them pointing that
awesome.
Out.
Awesome.
Cool.
So that was good. And, you know, everything went really smoothly this weekend. We
yeah.
had Brent Guerra. Brett, I said, almost Brett. Sounded Brent. Like I said Brent, but I was saying it was not a miss... communication. It was
sure.
a slip of the tongue.
Yeah, whatever, Andy.
Yeah.
Brett Guerra was there doing tattoos. Mm-hmm. It was sweet. I got one myself. Dawn got one. Miss yep. Dawn. Miss Dawn got one. Miss Dawn got a modification of one of her existing tattoos.
That's right.
She got a really snazzy sort of decorative orangish frame put around a flower.
Andy's yes. not doing it justice. I'm sure Dawn will have a picture
okay.
of it somewhere.
It's an epic document depicting the struggle of the black man against the white devil slave master.
Wow.
Right there on her upper arm.
And, right then.
Yeah.
In the form of a flower.
In the form of a flower surrounded by a fiery flame.
But if you go to geekwatch1.com, I think there's a picture of it there.
Word.
Sure, I'll put a picture yeah, over there.
No, it looks really good. Yeah. And the thing is, it's symmetrical.
He freaking
no, it's
that.
Asymmetrical.
It's
well,
asymmetrical.
It's asymmetrical, but it's well balanced.
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he freehanded it. It was
freehanding
it wasn't stenciled
curvy
or
lines
yeah.
and stuff, and making it look balanced is not an easy thing
yeah.
to do.
So if you're in the Pittsburgh area, that's where his shop actually is. He came in from Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Check out Abstract Tattoo. That's his shop.
Or even if you're in a driving distance of Pittsburgh,
yeah.
we are.
Oh, yeah, he's worth it. Like
he's worth checking out.
His work in general mm-hmm. is really cool. His portfolio mm-hmm. is awesome. He loves doing portraits. I asked him what he likes doing
yeah.
best and least. He hates doing lettering, so don't go to him for lettering. He
I'm
just hates doing
person.
It. It's not
yeah.
that he's bad. He just hates doing it. But he loves doing portraits, especially black and gray. So if you
sweet.
Want one of those, that's
yeah. He showed us actually his dog that he lost. He
mm-hmm.
had done on his
yep.
leg.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's because Vicky, awesome I think, in Toledo, we're thinking about possibly when we lost Lucy. Mm-hmm. The vet gave us actually her paw print. On
oh,
a card,
yeah,
and we're thinking about taking that. And Vicky wants to get Lucy's paw print.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's
that'd
a good
be
idea.
Cool. On her left butt cheek.
Lucy's gonna get it on her right butt cheek.
Oh, right. Actually, speaking of Toledo, Brett's gonna be back in Toledo.
Yeah.
So go, you know, line up now.
Yes, and he stayed busy too.
Yeah.
Both days he
mm-hmm.
stayed busy.
He did.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually we'd like to have more tattoos at Oddmall. We had them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then we had an issue where that Ebola nurse came to Akron.
We had no Ebola, I repeat.
We did not have
no,
Ebola.
Nothing
no,
had
no,
Ebola.
No, never.
Never.
But the health department was being
overprotective.
The health department
were being jerks about it. So we were going to have, like, 15 tattoo artists, and
well,
they all had to cancel at the last minute.
In all fairness,
yeah.
the health department was only following the CDC. I work,
no.
yeah, I work in medicine.
Yeah, but...
The health department was only following the CDC guidelines as to how long the Ebola incubation period would be before there
yeah.
would be an outbreak. So they were actually trying to protect all of us, not directly screw Oddmall, which they ended up doing.
Indirectly.
And obviously
but
it
they
made
were
a
trying
huge
to save
difference
Summit
in
County.
The what Oddmall's done.
Yeah,
yeah.
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 It's true.
I was going to say one thing with Oddmall this year. One of our friends we know from filming, this was his first Oddmall and his first tattoo.
Oh, yeah?
Nice.
Yes,
yeah,
the guy that we knew.
Who's
Patrick, big guy.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
He
makes him,
yeah. He had his first tattoo. What did he get done?
He has mom's name put on his arm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
In lettering.
There
yeah,
you go,
right?
yeah.
yeah.
Oh, if he doesn't
Patrick,
like it, still
does listening,
it.
Does he listen to this? Patrick.
I don't know if he does. We gave him all the cards.
Patrick, this is Andy talking to you, my man. I saw you when you came in. you're like 9 feet tall.
Yes.
And you're a super cool guy. I really wanted to tell you I liked your outfit you're wearing this weekend. And is that a real British accent?
Or yes.
Okay, very cool.
He's actually British.
Very cool. So, you know, hopefully we'll get to know each other a bit more in the future.
You never know. Oh, he never said he's going to come back to Oddmalls.
Cool. I liked him quite a bit.
Yeah.
Cool guy.
Yeah, we actually met him. I did the, it fell apart, but I did that Fallen Angels web series thing we were doing. And he was actually, I was actually supposed to be the bouncer for the evil angels.
I remember.
He was the enforcer for the for the good guys.
Ooh, so is there going to be like a big battle scene?
There was supposed to be at some point, and it ended up, it ended up all falling apart.
Yeah.
I still have all the scripts. I was talking to one of the other guys I was in, and he's like, we should do something with this.
Yeah. He was like one of the only guys I know that makes you look tiny.
Yeah, this guy is ginormous.
He is. I mean, what, is he literally like 9 feet tall?
Something.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably close to 7.
No, he's at least 6'8", 6'9".
So, yeah, he's close to 7.
Yeah, if you're taller than 5'7", you're a giant.
Yeah,
yeah. Ain't that right, Kylan?
Yeah.
speaking of outfits, the cosplay was pretty impressive this time.
Oh, yeah.
It was, yes.
Yeah. Especially on Sunday.
And I mean, the other thing was, though, like, even not for the contest. Like, there were people who showed up after the contest who were fully kitted out in costumes and everything walking around. Like, they were just there because they know that Oddmall is the place to be seen with your costumes.
And that's why Vicky and I really wanted to change a little bit of the costume contest so that we can have walk-ons. So people who don't want to be in the contest, but we want people to be able to see their costumes while we're tabulating to find out who the winner is, they can go on stage and showcase their stuff without worrying about it.
And it gives the crowd an opportunity to take some extra photos, too, because they get stopped so often when they're, you know, and it blocks traffic every once in a while. And
you know, that actually gives me an idea of something we can do in Toledo that maybe we should discuss later, but I'll bring it up right now so that you will remember that we should discuss it.
Good luck with that, because I'll probably forget too.
All right.
We have an audio record.
Yeah,
so.
We do have a record. Yeah. The fans will tell us. Did
you know what else was
thing?
Awesome about the costume contest this year?
What?
Vicky and Jessica totally rocked it.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Yes.
They did. Running Cosplay HQ and organizing the costume
contest.
It was very
smooth.
It was a well-oiled machine, let me tell you.
It was.
It was oiled.
Well, I like lists and making stuff like that.
It was lubed.
And Vicky's is super good at coming up with
Jess
the ideas.
Jess was getting
and...
people in line, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was like, when it was time and they were lining up, she was just calling out those names. Like,
it was
here,
really funny.
Over here.
Ken was like, you might need a megaphone. I'm like,
no, she did not need a megaphone.
Well, the funny thing is, Vicky told me, is like, Jesse first told me to start getting people in line, and I had to tell her straight up that, they're not going to hear me.
Yeah.
They don't even hear me at my own booth.
No.
That's true. That's what I was like, don't worry. I got this.
So I'll just run back and forth.
I got a megaphone for Christmas this year, and my normal voice, I think, is louder than the megaphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no troubles.
But we actually had a full panel schedule. We've told you guys before on this. How did the panels go? I know one of them was standing room only, and they were actually calling for more chairs.
Wow. Yes.
And as of today, I don't know if you saw this message.
I did see it.
The same panel at Con and Macabre this year.
What panel?
That was Loving Luke and Han.
Oh, right.
I think it's supposed to be read like Loving Luke and Han.
Right.
Yes.
You know.
We did know that there were people in the audience who knew the panelists.
Right.
As well. There were plenty of people who didn't. Who were just interested in the topic. So that was really
that
nice.
One,
very cool.
They filled it out.
There were a bunch of people who came in on Sunday looking for the people who had done that panel on Saturday.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So it might be worth doing like repeat panels if people can show up.
A draw, which I think they're starting to.
They're starting to, yeah.
You know, we'll devote more space to them, I suppose. But, you know,
it
can happen.
I will say that I noticed this time around that, and even this was a concern of mine at first, but even during the costume competition, that there was still some attendance at the panels during those times.
Basically, Kylan and I ran the panels during the contest, during the costume contest, because we didn't want to put anyone else out. You know, we did like Saturday, we did the steampunk one. Sunday, we did the How to Podcast one. And we had people at both. We had a few people. It wasn't a huge audience, but we had a few people at each of them. And it was people we didn't know, which made it... Well, although we did kind of already know Brett at the podcasting one.
Right.
But Brett
told us that he was looking forward to the podcasting one anyway.
So, you know, it was people we didn't know that we could actually share the info with, and they were interested in it. And so it still went over well.
Good. Nice.
Yeah, and Which one was it?
And then
it?
The gaming one with Carrington went well.
The gaming one
went
well.
Yeah, Carrington said he had some people in there.
He had a few people in there, so that was cool.
I looked in on that one, and I think there were maybe 10 or 12 people in that one. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm considering panels as a new thing at Oddmall.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's starting... the more we do this... And, you know, and I'm switching stuff out, I'm starting to see... Which ones are interesting to people and which ones aren't?
We're going to do a poll and see like what topics interest
people. And that's just it. It's partly letting people know like what are panels, like why are you attending these at a show like this,
right?
As well as getting the right mix of topics that people want to see. And sometimes you just can't tell based on the crowd what's going to go over. But
I think we should do more like hands-on workshop style things, like Rebecca Turk did in Toledo, like the Sock Monkey workshops.
Well, that's why I was telling you about that one woman from Smart Art. She does the Crafty Mart stuff.
Yeah.
That she'd be a really good one to contact about that.
Yes, do that.
Yeah. She does that all the time.
Actually, speaking of Carrington, I think we can make it official now, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We actually have some information. We're just breaking in with some Cake Watch 1 news. Our live Meeple casts are changing day.
Oh, no. Well,
yes,
wait a minute. Hold on. My whole worldview just shifted. Give me a second to process.
But I already put it on my calendar.
Because the Malted Meeple has gotten very busy on Monday nights, which is awesome for them.
Yeah,
they now run essentially their D&D league that night.
Nerds.
So, yeah, exactly. The place is full of nerds. I don't know why we go. But it used to be that was their slow night, and that's why we started recording on the last Monday of the month there.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's such a big, busy night for them, and they could use the space in the room that we get that we were talking to them, and we've switched it up. So now...
We are going to be going doing Geek Watch 1 Live the last Saturday of every month at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The nice thing is... Many of those Saturdays, we actually can have time to sit down and play some games afterwards.
Right.
It's not like you just got to finish the show and get out.
Right.
So when are you talking? Wednesday, did you say?
It'll be the last Saturday of every month.
Starting this month.
Starting in May. It's the last Saturday of every month now. And the Meeple opens at noon, so we figured one was a good time.
And Carrington also said
set up.
He's not always working Saturdays, but... He doesn't run games Saturday afternoon, so he can actually sit in on the shows again.
And
can I do a low-life themed show and then run a low-life game afterwards?
Sure. We've talked a little bit of low-life on here before, but not a whole lot.
We usually talk just like when your Kickstarters come out and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
what if we did like a character creation jazz on the show and then played the game afterwards? And we could even record the game.
Cool.
Yeah, we could do it as an extra. Extra.
Oh, yeah.
But I did want to say there's a reason Carrington will not be there this month, the last Saturday of May,
it's
is because he is getting married.
What?
Yes. So we want to say congratulations to he and his soon-to-be bride, who we met for the first time at Oddball.
We finally met
her.
We met her at the show or something. Yeah, Gen Con Origins, she was there.
Yeah, so that's why he won't be there this time. So... So yay for Gary.
Although
that's
we
a
told
good
him,
excuse. Yeah, it's an okay excuse.
Well, we told him that's no excuse because he could always either get married before or after the show.
That's true.
That's right. He could get
married.
Married
at Ravenwood Castle.
I didn't ask.
No, they're getting married in Missouri.
Missouri.
His level of access, he should be doing it.
Or at least honeymooning there. Come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but would that be a honeymoon for him?
That's true. I was like, he knows too many people
there for.
Heather and I went to Origins for a honeymoon.
Well,
then we went to Disney World.
We got married. Then we went to the first Origins where Andy exhibited, and I was very sick. And
so you got married and worked?
Under the table. Yeah, we got married and worked, and then we went to Disney World.
Yeah, that was exciting times.
That's when David Wong drew a picture of me sick. From under the table, and it was like starving artists need money, and it was like it was the sadness of me. Thanks, David.
Yep. Hi.
So I think unquestionably we can say this Oddmall was a success.
Yes. We had a couple of new artists on the stage too.
Yep.
The one I want to give a big shout out to Whitechapel Jack. Did you guys get a chance to see him at all?
I did not.
His style is very similar to Mike's with the looping machine, mm-hmm, where he can do all the beats, except he had like a full drum machine and all these other things going. He was, if you take Mike's form to the extreme, you end up with an entire band on stage with him, and it's just looped stuff that he had built as he goes.
Wow, that's cool.
It was amazing.
Man.
So, what else do we have that was...
I just like, Cassie just crawled up on Viggy and is like,
in her face.
Yes.
Now, hold me now. Have this at 4 o'clock in the morning and have her sore in her face.
Yeah. So, Mike did awesome getting some, couple of guys he had to pull in at the last minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we had a couple of cancellations, so.
Yeah, he always does good getting the, he knows enough musicians, he can just call someone up.
Yeah.
So,
And there were always people there, like, because I didn't get a chance to go by the entertainment too often. It was usually, like, I was just buying something from the snack bar or something. But there were always people in the audience mm-hmm. there, not just at the back table having something
to
eat.
They were. When Andy and I were at the, like, greeting table, the donation table, mm-hmm. you could see people were in there constantly watching the entertainment.
Yeah, so.
My uncle and his wife came for the very first time to Odd Mall, and
after years of pestering by Jesse.
Yes, I keep all the flyers in Akron Bering, and they just get ignored. But so they were there for the first time, and I had to pull my aunt away because she was just entranced watching the belly dancers.
Awesome.
Much love to Shivani Dance Studio.
Yeah.
Also, much love to Visions of the Nile. There was apparently some miscommunication, and they didn't get to come on.
Well, we're not going to have that miscommunication anymore. Yeah. I'll have them both there.
It's so funny because she kept coming up to me. Those girls were just fantastic. I'm like, this is why I keep telling you, you should come to Odd Mall.
She watched them with the swords. I like it when they do
I think
swords.
So.
Yeah.
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 When I briefly saw them, they had the fans.
Oh yeah.
There's a reason for anyone to come to Odd Mall.
Yes.
Like, you may not be into arts and craft shows, but guess what? There's entertainment. Maybe you're mm-hmm. not into entertainment, but there's costuming. You may not be. You know, there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You really can't say that you can't find something of interest at Odd Mall.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but before we move on to Guardians, we got another Odd Mall coming up in a week and a half.
We do.
Yes.
It's next Saturday is when this drops.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
We're going to have two stages. It's down in Canton, Ohio at the Stadium Park on May 20th. And it's from, what, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m.,
That's
I believe?
That's correct.
Or is it 10 to 7?
No, I like 10. The look on your face.
10 to 7.
Yeah.
Well, I have to schedule stuff 11 to 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. So the stage opens at 11, but the show opens at 10.
Yep.
This outdoor show along the river.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be beautiful.
It's a great setting.
Trees, water.
Looking at,
and the water's only like a foot deep, so you can wade in it.
Not right now.
Well, actually,
right now,
it's warm enough. According to the extended forecast, which Ohio means nothing.
Right.
Right, right now, it's calling for partly cloudy and 77 degrees.
That's perfect.
That would be awesome.
That would be beautiful.
And yeah. I've already been talking to friends who are like in the Canton area and like, I can bike down there when you guys are there.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, you can. That's it. If you're in the Canton area, you come bike to it. It's a great
to
park.
To be honest, you know, if
come
you live
cycle.
In the Canton area, within like, say, 300 miles of Canton, you really have no
that's the Canton
legitimate
area.
Excuse for not going.
Yes, you know? 300 miles.
I mean, the only reason to not go to Odd Mall Riverside Ramble on May 20th at Stadium Park in Canton is if you're either a communist. What? Seriously. Or,
I like communists.
Well, I know, but they're busy protesting.
They tend not
things,
to.
Right? They're busy
they tend not
day.
To like free expression and buying things.
Yeah, there's some. Well, I'm saying this is just a reason not to go. Not even against communists. I'm just saying that I know that all the communists are busy that day. Also,
just that specific.
I don't like fascists, though.
Yeah, if you're a fascist, we don't.
Yeah,
you should probably enjoy it. It's not your thing. But really, if you live within 300 miles of Canton, you owe it to yourself, your family, your progeny, your ancestors, and all your descendants to get there May 20th, Stadium Park.
10.
Be there.
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Right.
And here's another thing about it. Do you guys like eyeballs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I make
yours.
I got
two. Quite useful.
Yeah. Do you like rivers?
No,
yeah.
I mean,
sometimes.
Yes.
We're going to be getting a whole bunch of giant floating eyeballs and racing them down the river rubber duck style. It's going
to
be awesome.
Now, have you figured out how to catch them at the other end yet?
Yeah, I have.
Yes.
We're going to talk to you in the water with a duck. No, but this is actually, I should say that this is a co-production of Odd Mall and the Canton Bureau or Division of Parks and Recreation.
Absolutely.
Department.
Big shout out to Canton.
Throwing some love
us.
Out to Derek and Audrey over at the Parks and Rec Department. They're the ones who made this. Yeah, it's Parks and Rec.
Yes.
It is. There's going to be a plant
sale. They don't
sale.
Have a Leslie note.
Parks and, yeah, no Leslie note.
Joseph.
He's kind of, I don't know. He's got kind of a Rob Lowe thing going on.
He does?
Yeah, Derek, if you're listening to this by the off chance.
Does he go Andy Hop?
No, he's
no.
just...
Is he like Chris? Is he like
no.
the hyper one? Like
no,
Chris?
He's
do
not,
you know
he's
people
not hyper.
Do that, but
okay.
not
He's
him.
Very mild-mannered. He's just very physically fit. Like,
ah.
Yeah. And that's so. That's a good thing. And it's Audrey's birthday. Audrey is, I guess, the executive assistant and someone that works at Parks and Rec, and she's awesome. And her birthday is May 20th.
Oh, cool.
They're doing a plant sale to raise money for the Parks and Rec department in conjunction with Oddmall. Also, if you, any of you lovely geeksters out there happen to have visited the Cube tournament that happened last summer.
Woo, Cube!
Woo!
The Country Cube Club will be having their annual final tournament there in May, May 20th, at Oddmall Riverside Rambles. It's going to be awesome.
That's my only regret for this one is I'm not going to be able to play Cube this year.
Yeah. But they're going to be there, and we're going to have food trucks, two stages of entertainment. I don't know. Crunchosaurus, giant two-headed fire-breathing transforming mega truck will not be in attendance.
You caught my interest. I was like, "What?"
I was trying to figure out how you're going to pay that off.
No, but there is actually in it. There's not going to be a giant two-headed fire-breathing transforming mega truck, but there will be a fire truck.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the kids or even the grown-ups, Mr. Tolles, would like to come check out a fire truck, sit in the front seat, turn on the siren.
Yeah, see if they'll turn on the siren.
Maybe climb the ladder or something, put out a few fires.
I just want the water cannon. That's all. Yeah.
No, but the fire department has generously agreed to bring a fire truck for all, you know, to show the kids. And
cool.
It's going to be really cool. I mean, this is something we've never done before. We did an outdoor show last year in Hudson, which was a blast.
Yeah.
But we've never done one, like, at a park along the river. It's going to be super sweet.
Awesome.
Nice.
Dig it.
That's next Saturday, guys.
May
Come
20th.
Out and see us again. We will be there. All your favorite Oddmall vendors will be there.
A bunch of new vendors
Cassie
will be there because it's
there.
Candy.
Yep, you guys are welcome.
You guys have heard of Cassie on the show so many times. Well, she will be there. But actually, you have some Oddmall news also.
I do.
We do.
We have more than one outdoor
show. Yeah, we do.
Yes.
We've never talked about it.
Well, this is, okay, here, announced for the very first time, for the second time.
I figured we were okay to talk about it since you were telling me
everything.
Okay
to talk about. I just didn't want to monopolize all your time. That's all.
It's on the website already.
It's a go.
Yeah. All right. September 16th and September 17th, outside Derby Downs, Akron, Ohio, bottom of the hill in the grassy field next to the skate park. Rad.
And the BMX track, too.
BMX track, skate park,
and
race cars. We're going to be able to ride. This is the coolest
thing
ever.
This is the thing I'm most excited about.
We're going to be able to ride the Derby racers down the hill.
They have kid size, adult size. Yeah, they're typically kid size.
I
want to
do that.
Everybody knows the All-American Soapbox Derby. But they have adult size ones, and you can rent and ride down the hill.
Can we have, like, an Oddmall Staffers
Heck
race?
Yeah, we can.
I think we need to make that tournament.
Oddmall Staff Tournament.
But anyway, this has the potential, anyway, to be a gigantic show. I have space for 278 booths, food trucks, live entertainment. I have a lead on a band that actually plays, like, instruments and stuff, since it's outside. I know a band that actually plays instruments.
Look out.
But, no, this really has potential to be a huge show, and I hope people are as jazzed about it as I am. It's going to be super sweet, and much love to Derby Downs for, you know, giving us a really sweet deal on on the place, so I'm able to not have to charge way too much for vendor booths or anything like
that.
Well,
it kind of works for them, too, because they're doing a thing where you can rent their event space now for, like, birthday parties, or you can have your kids come in and have derby races as part of their birthday party. So they get to advertise that, and they get to run the rentals. And everybody knows Derby Downs is, they need our support. They need community support.
Yeah,
so
right.
We're there to support Derby Downs, and Derby Downs has been there to support us.
Well, any vendors that have not done Oddmall before that may be listening to this, how much are booths at that one? Since you're just now starting to fill it up and just open it up.
For both days, they're all this available. Covers you for 2 days. Is 120 for a 10-foot by 10-foot space. That's like
that is fantastic.
Wow,
that's really good.
That's cheaper than dirt. I mean, you know how much 10? That's 100 square feet of dirt, and your booth is 10 feet tall, so that's 1,000 cubic feet of dirt. You know how much 1,000 cubic feet of dirt costs?
More than 120.
I know. So I can actually honestly say
cheaper
that Oddmall booths at Derby Downs, this Oddmall Rubber City Rumpus, is cheaper than dirt.
Nice.
Truth in advertising.
That's how we're going to advertise it.
Yeah. The other thing that's great about the Rubber City Rumpus now is the fact that it's about the same distance from my house as the Night Center.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's nicely close for so many of us.
It's super close.
And I think it's super cool that the skate park is there.
Yeah.
And the BMX track. And she said that the BMX track's always doing stuff on the weekends.
Uh-huh. Cool.
It's going to be super cool.
Yeah.
And it is in the shadow metaphorically, yeah. of the giant air duct. So when you think of Akron and the blimp and the old-fashioned Goodyear air duct, the giant black looming building.
That was on fire.
At one point was on fire.
It's so big that it has its own climate.
It does have its own climate.
It rains inside. It does rain
in the building. I think at one point it held the world record for the largest building with no internal support structures.
Yeah, largest freestanding building.
Yeah, I've been inside it. Have you guys been inside
No.
it?
No.
I was inside it
They have not opened
once.
It in the last like 10 years or so. They've not had it open.
Yeah, well,
well not because it's Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Lockheed was building its
the past couple Christmases, they had Christmas
military dirigibles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but no, it's right there. You can see the air dock from the place where we'll
be
at.
Yeah, if you've never been to Akron, this is definitely the show to come to see the air. Like, just you have no idea how big this thing. Like, even us describing it, you have no idea how big this thing is.
Part of the reason for this show is that. You know, we do the show at the John S. Knight Center in Akron, and we love the people of Akron. And
I think
the people of Akron love us.
They seem to.
Do the people of Akron love us? Yeah, we do. Look at all those people outside saying they love us.
Akron's
anyway,
weirdos, like us.
We took our fall show away from Akron, and we moved it to Toledo for reasons I'm not at liberty to disclose.
Yeah, we had to spread the love. It's okay.
We did. That's what we wanted to do.
We
want to spread the love. And then people were like, where'd the fall show go? Why'd you move it to Toledo? And all the Toledo people were like, yeah, thanks for moving the show to Toledo. But the Akron people were like, we want to have them all back in Toledo. We don't want it in Toledo. We want it in Akron. And we want it now in the fall. And we're like, okay. And Derby Downs is, that's an Akron institution.
Yes. It really is.
Right? Yeah. It's recognizable. When people think of Akron, they think of, well, several things. But one of the things people think of Akron is
rubber.
The Goodyear blimp.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's, rubber. You know, that's what it's all about.
Norco soda.
Right?
So, I don't think it gets any more, like, iconic Akron than Derby Downs and the blimp base.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah.
Well, also, the
So if you don't go, it means you don't love Akron.
No!
Well, also, it is right on there on the edge of the Akron-Fulton Airport, historic Akron-Fulton Airport.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because back, especially in before World War II and during World War I and II, that was a military base.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
For military blimps.
American military base, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So if you don't go, you don't love
America. I
hope
so.
Right? You know,
well,
that's right.
Nowadays,
it was a Dutch military base.
Goodyear makes most of the dirigibles you see that other companies have.
Right.
So they still service those blimps. So right there at Akron Fulton, they dock them periodically.
Yes.
And you'll see they're in town getting serviced.
See, so if you miss out, it means you don't love blimps.
There is a good chance, I'm not guaranteeing it because I, you know, don't have any connections at Goodyear anymore. You have connections at Goodyear?
Yeah, I know everybody.
And he's got
my connection at Goodyear.
I mean, I'm sure Evergaring has connections to Goodyear.
That's true. I'm not guaranteeing
you'll probably
see a blimp.
Yeah,
there's a likelihood of a blimp. Well, just being in Akron, there's a likelihood of seeing
a blimp. What I was wondering is, afterwards I had an idea for it as a thing too, but...
And quite honestly, living in Akron, the one thing you know is the sound of a blimp motor.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, they... within months of first moving here, I could tell exactly when the blimp was nearby. And I'm not even talking overhead. It's miles away.
Yeah.
And you know it's there.
Andy and I used to live about a mile from where Derby Downs is. And they hold an air show there, or I think they...
They used to. They haven't... It's been about 7 or 8 years since they've done
it. They used to hold an air show there, and inevitably, I would be out gardening, and frigging jets would be streaming over my house.
Yep.
And one time, there was... they had a stealth bomber go over the house. And it was so loud, it shook the windows. It went over the house twice. And, of course, being the 70-year-old woman in a young person's body that I am, I looked up at the sky and shook my fist and said, "Go away, bomber! Go away!"
And she's like, "Hit the dirt, we're under attack!"
Yeah. So anyway, good time.
Yeah, we saw that too. But did you get to see that from the side? That stealth.
Yes.
It looks like a top hat.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is a flat line with a box on top of it.
It's creepy because the place you hear the sound from is not the place where it's at.
Oh no, not at all.
So
kinda like Kylan, he's like a ninja. Yeah. Been all up in there.
That's all the oddballs that are coming. You'll get a lot more information.
That's not
as
all
they
the
get
oddballs
to it.
That
well,
are coming, but
that's the first one.
We give the info as it gets closer.
Yeah.
All right. So bottom line,
go to oddball.
If you don't love go to oddball, you don't love America.
That's right. Go to oddball.info for information on every oddball in demand. Do you even got the North or the Northwest Oddmalls on Oddmall.info?
Heck
or
yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. That, there's so, one actually.
How many Oddmalls are there now total between you and
all right,
where they're running
we're
out?
Doing six a year now. And then also Con
really
on the Cob.
You really doing six?
Yeah.
Oh my
God.
Con on the Cob kind of counts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Oddmall technically.
It's another event.
So that's seven for us.
It's
the same
people. It's Oddmall Live.
I think my brother is doing five or six shows this year, too.
Wow.
In the Pacific Northwest. Jeez.
So that means, you know, 10
shows?
To 12.
No wonder I'm tired.
Yeah. Dozen shows are dealing.
Yeah, he does some cool stuff up there. His shows, he does some of the big shows, and he also does a few, like, street fair kind of shows where he has, like, 20 or 30 oddmall vendors.
It'd be great if at some point we could afford actually to go out there and check out one of the oddmalls out there.
Let's do it.
I want to go to Seattle. That's what we'll do.
I mean, we could film the whole thing.
Oddmall staff
like,
trip.
We could film the whole
here,
thing.
You
it'll
guys
be
all
like
stack yourselves
you
like
what,
firewood in
you
the
know
trailer.
What, Andy, you could probably make that tax deductible as an actual staff
trip. That's true. That's true. That's a business.
That's a business.
Who's going to win the lottery so we can
That's right. We have to do it when one of us
weekend.
Wins.
Wait, the thing is, we all go, but we can't tell your brother we're coming.
Right. Absolutely, yeah. No one gets to know.
They're not allowed to know, and we just show up.
So do we get Cameron to film the whole thing?
Yeah.
That would be the Oddmall invasion.
You'd actually do that.
No, because they'll probably forget the battery.
We should just not tell them we're coming, though, and just
show up. It's not that Cameron would forget the battery. Cameron would complain the entire time.
Yeah, but that's actually something new, too, because we had our buddy Cameron actually did some filming at Oddmall this year.
Yeah,
right.
Saturday.
And he's going to be getting Andy to put up somewhere.
Well, I've pulled better films from my tongue.
He's like almost done with school. Doing
well, he is
business,
a student.
Like, I haven't seen anything.
Sorry,
I've
Cameron.
Just
Andy
wanted
hasn't
to say
looked
that.
At anything. He has no access to anything.
No, Cameron is cool, man. I like Cameron.
No,
can I say that on here? Is that okay to say?
But one thing, and I've told him this so everyone will know, that if you ever meet Cameron, Cameron is a 75-year-old man in a 21-year-old body.
Yes, he is. Seriously.
Yes, he is.
Who curses a blue streak, by the way.
Does he?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Every second word,
like
pretty
me?
Much.
No. Yeah. The funny thing is, everybody's heard him on the show here.
Yeah.
But there's two Camerons you get to meet.
Uh-huh.
The On GeekWatch 1 show. Cameron.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I hit stop recording, I don't even say anything. He automatically knows. It like flips the switch inside of him when I hit the stop button.
And the words start coming out.
That's adorable because I've only met the Cameron who's watched his language.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Quiet,
why does he think he has to watch
anxiety-ridden Cameron.
It's in front of people he doesn't know well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Once he knows you a little, then he'll be real Cameron.
No, Cameron's a good guy. I like him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know enough about him to really qualify that. But I get the impression.
Well, I believe he is going to be down in Canton also. So
I thought he was going to be there.
Canton's the big show.
You know what
Cameron
I love
will be
most
anywhere
about
that I pick him up
well, yeah, but
to.
Plus he'll be done with school.
Yes.
In a couple weeks.
Yeah. So
he's going to be badgering me.
because once you guys are getting together.
Yeah.
As soon as you guys are up and ready to go, we'll tell everybody about that.
Yes.
What's going on?
We need
it's
to
secret.
Move on because we all did something else this past week too.
Well,
we went
week,
and saw a movie.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God. We were all excited. Like, what did we do? What did we do? We all forgot.
And a lot of us actually ended up in the same theater, not by chance.
Accidentally, it was a GeekWatch one night out.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was quite fun.
Jesse and Vicky and I went and saw. We were towards the back of the theater. You and Kylan were towards the front.
We were down the set.
And then one aisle in front of you at the other end.
And Vern was there.
Vern and his friends.
And we didn't know until afterwards.
Yeah.
Right.
We bought the double feature tickets in North Canton.
Ooh.
So we saw both movies.
It was sweet.
Yeah. And then they had discounted food, so it was like dollar dogs.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
If you bought the... But you had to show them your ticket.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny. On Wednesday night, one of the cable channels was actually showing Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And nice. I was just doing something at home anyway. I'm like, okay, I'll just turn it on anyways. Remind myself.
Right, right.
You know?
Yes. It was on again last night.
Too. Yeah.
I felt like there were some differences. I don't know for sure.
There were.
I feel like they made some alterations like they sometimes do when they release things.
Oh, okay.
Really?
That there were a couple differences to the theatrical release we saw Thursday night.
I don't think so.
Well,
it's more likely
that I'm just misremembering things.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But there were
how long ago had it been since you saw it for the first time?
Like an hour or two.
An hour, yeah.
It's been a while. But I don't know. So what are we going to talk about?
Volume 2.
And
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we're allowed to say whatever we want to say.
Spoilers.
This is spoilery because you're almost a week out from the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I will preface it with this. when the first movie came out, Ileana absolutely loved Gamora, like, instantly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I felt like there wasn't a lot of Gamora screen time, yep. like, specifically Gamora's story.
Right.
But we all know that her story leads into where we're going, so right. we yeah. had to get more of it eventually. Mm-hmm.
Right. There was a lot more of Peter and Gamora, though.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. there was.
And the fact that it's not completely one-sided.
No, it's not. No. But I had the opportunity, by chance, one afternoon when I was on Facebook, to see James Gunn talking about the marketing from mm-hmm. the first one. And he and I shared a moment where we exchanged complaints about there not being enough Gamora toys out there because yeah. they had just put out the Sumsums. And mm-hmm. they didn't put the Gamora in any of the marketing for it at all, even right. though he assured me that they were making it, but it kind of upset both of us that they didn't put it in the marketing, and I shared with him then, you know, my daughter loves Gamora, it would be nice to see more of her, and he absolutely guaranteed me that there would be more Gamora, that there would be more female power in the second one, and that was 100% true.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you, thank you.
The whole little known fact about character from the movie, Taserface is actually female.
Taser fingers.
Wait, you chose that name?
Yeah. It's metaphorical.
Oh, it's real now after that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I have a fact about Taserface though. From the comics.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's part of a race called the Stark. And yes, it is a race of aliens who worship Tony Stark and his technology.
Oh my god.
That is canon in Marvel.
Well, yeah,
that's
well,
awesome.
That was from the original Guardians, right?
Yes.
But yeah. the original Guardians, wasn't it like 100 or 200 years in the future?
Yes, yeah, but that's what his race yeah. is supposed to be.
But that would make sense though, because at that point, if you look at what Tony Stark has built in the mm-hmm, Marvel Universe at this
exactly.
point,
mm-hmm.
and imagine that expanding through time.
Right. Yep. He was going to call him Stony Tark, which is actually really cool too.
Stony Tark.
Well, I also liked the, and I'm so horrible with names, so I can't remember it. The god's little
mantis.
Mantis.
Yes.
Mantis.
Yes.
Mantis.
Yes.
That
she turned out to be a really strong character too.
She yeah. did. Yes.
Yeah, she did.
Well, I went into this. If you watch,
she was
the
pretty hideous though.
Absolutely disgusting.
Ugly.
Yes. Well, I went into this. If you watch the trailers, I thought for sure Baby Groot was going to steal the whole show.
Yeah. But that's what everyone thought. Yeah.
Stolen because. Drax was just as good as Baby Groot, I yeah. think, half the time.
Drax was hilarious yes. this time around. He really was.
People who, I've heard criticisms that Dave Bautista is a wrestler, he doesn't know it, but if you watch what he's chosen, what stuff he's done, he actually has some
no, he's done
jobs.
Really, compared to some of his other roles that were kind of bad, though,
yeah.
With Drax, he's done a great job.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. The only things I've ever seen him do besides this are just, like, you know, nameless goon number six or whatever.
Well, even yeah, but
James
he
Bond,
was Inspector. He was Inspector,
and I liked that.
Yeah.
I liked Inspector a lot, but that's a different discussion.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that I think the good thing is with James Gunn, he knows Groot is cute. He
yeah.
knows Groot is the marketing key, but he also knows not to overuse any one character.
Yeah.
He's,
right.
he's very aware that everything is story driven.
Yes.
And that you have to be true to the characters from where their heart comes from
right.
the comics, if not necessarily the plot.
Right.
So you can take bits of plot from here and there. He fought to get Ego the Living Planet in this.
Mm-hmm.
He fought,
yeah.
fought.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, well, if you know him from the comics...
Permission was required.
Yes. If you know him from the comics, it's a hard sell.
Yeah.
It's a very
in the comics,
stuff.
He's just the planet.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
he's never
a
human.
Planet.
He doesn't have an avatar.
Oh.
But so, you got the bit of the tribute to that planet, like, near the end when you saw the face in the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
that
that's what he looks like in
the comics.
Comics. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to know. I'd have to look it up. Which one had it? Was Ego around first or Mogo? Because in DC, they have an actual living planet who's actually a Green Lantern. The whole planet is a Green Lantern.
Oh.
It's Mogo, the Green Lantern planet.
It's another one of those
yeah,
Marvel
toss
DC
up,
toss-ups.
Yeah.
yeah,
they all come around the same time.
Yeah. Well, those two companies we've talked about before
mm-hmm.
throw stuff back and forth all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Starting with Deathstroke, then you get
mm-hmm.
Deadpool, and then you get Red Tool, and then you get...
Yeah.
Martian Manhunter and Vision.
Vision,
yeah.
yeah.
Right.
But it was interesting if you look at the marketing for this... Like, you know how a lot of times trailers give away way too much of the plot?
Yeah.
Right. This
well,
gave away
and,
none.
Yeah, but you look at it and you're like, well, Kurt Russell shows up and then he says he's his dad. That gives away the story. It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't.
That's kind of the point. Like, that happens so early on in the movie and there's so much more to that.
Yeah.
That really gave you nothing in the trailer.
And I saw some people say, some friends of mine saying online that, wow, they loved it, but it was a completely different tone than the first movie. Yep. Mm-hmm. And in a way, the first movie is an adventure story because it goes from place to place, and they're trying to achieve things as they go along.
They're becoming the team.
Right. They're coming together. It's that origin but adventure bonding through hard circumstances kind of story. This story is the complete flip of that. You get to a place, and then there's story for at least a couple of the characters.
It was much more emotional.
The
story, the plot line itself.
And it brought you some bad stories.
At the same time, I think this was a funnier movie than the first one.
It was.
Well, they had a really, really good balance of camp and story and plot. They didn't overdo it. It didn't feel forced. It flowed naturally, I thought.
What did you have,
Kevin? Ego was first, 1966.
Okay.
Mogo was 1985.
Oh, wow, that's a big difference.
That's a big gap.
Big difference.
19 years. math is hard.
But yeah, the whole thing with Groot at the beginning, that was super goofy.
Oh, yeah.
But it was perfect.
But like,
that's a kid.
No one didn't laugh at that.
I would say
it still added to the story.
The opening credit scene and the end credits are probably way up there with the best credits.
They're good. I love what they did to the actual credits themselves too.
Yes.
Like with the occasional I Am Groot coming
up. Yes. Right.
Yeah, those were excellent.
And at the actual opening of the movie, the actual opening scene was a young Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
That was some of the best CGI ever. So
that was beautiful.
So far surpassed what showed up in Star Wars.
Yes.
Well,
because you could see the pores on his face, damn it.
Yeah, I'm like, that was 1980s.
That was Kurt really Russell. Kurt Russell.
It was like the height of Kurt Russell. It really was.
That was scary good. Like,
how did they do that? I mean, actually, I didn't know they had makeup artists that great.
I'm wondering if they used the same company that did Tony Stark in the last time we saw him.
Right.
Yes. Flashback scene.
Right.
Because that was good, but it seemed too soft.
That's where I'm thinking. I'm
this
thinking
time,
they actually had,
it was there.
It had more depth to it.
They may have actually had Kurt Russell act the whole scene and then just aged him.
Well,
down
I mean,
it,
the same.
Well,
if they did the same thing with Star Wars, there was still a person there.
Right.
But it worked so well.
Didn't they do
well.
The same thing with him and Tron? Or is that a different guy?
I mean, de-aging someone
Tron
is still
was,
full CGI.
I always get him and Jeff Bridges mixed up.
But they did the same thing with Robert Downey Jr. He filmed that, and then they just de-aged him digitally.
Well, they did it in Ant-Man with
Kurt Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. It was a Douglas.
Different generation.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas.
But they're doing that a lot more now, and it's just getting better and better.
Yeah.
It's kind of eerie.
Better.
But
no, this was like the best of that I have seen. Period.
Yeah,
I think it was
great. Scary good. But it worked. It worked well to kind of have that little opening, and then you're called back to it once you get to Ego's planet.
Curiously, this does not fit chronologically with the other Marvel movies. Do you recognize that?
Well,
this
done that a couple
has
times.
To happen before Ultron because it
oh,
fits
yeah.
right off the end of the other Guardians.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is, I think, 3 months later.
Well, they've done that before because Doctor Strange. They did that.
Doctor Strange. Yeah. It fits into an out of sequence spot. So we're kind of getting backstory that's filling in holes now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to watch them in order.
You
can't
won't
go
watch
them in release
and,
date.
And that's just
right.
it, though. That like they're filling in what the various teams or individuals are doing at the same time, so that they're coming together in Infinity War.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like you have to. It doesn't make sense for them to do a story after something happened with the Avengers or whatever, because then you're just like, well, yeah, but what were they doing then?
Right.
You know.
Right.
And plus, it's not with Guardians, it's not even as noticeable, though, because it's all in space. Like, they're not affected by what had gone on Earth anyway.
It's true. I'm really excited to see this all come together, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was wondering if we get any reference, if we would have gotten any reference to Thor Ragnarok, any of the locations or anything from that, possibly.
Maybe when we see Ragnarok.
Now,
we did. We got the reference to Thor Ragnarok in the closing credits. Because Jeff Goldblum's character shows up as it scrolls by.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. His character shows up there, which is supposedly part of the same race as the Collector.
The Celestial.
That makes sense.
From the first one.
Right, they both have the same lipstick.
Yeah, exactly. It's what
I was
kind of
surprised
race.
That there was no Thanos. He was mentioned a couple times.
Right.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No,
I was surprised one of the five end scenes was not directly linked to another movie.
If we put it back in sequence, I think Thanos is otherwise occupied with a different stone at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
possibly.
So,
but I think that's why they actually referenced him and kept referencing him as their as Gamora and Nebula's dad.
That, yeah, right. That opened up the Gamora and Nebula storyline, which is good.
And I know they've said that they would consider doing a Nebula movie that or something where she's a little more primary to it to go after Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
Like Karen Gillian has talked about really wanting to do.
That would be that kind of a story. Side story.
For
yeah,
somebody
I think
who,
that would be a good subplot.
For somebody who fought so badly not to do the makeup the way they did the first time, that's an interesting
interesting
that was one complaint I had about the movie.
What?
Is I thought that her makeup, while awesome in general, the eyepiece looked like foam.
Her makeup is actually different from the first movie. The eyepiece is different, and the colors are different.
I mean, I suppose it could be, you know, some kind of polymer or something, but it looks like foam. Like
super nerd moment. It actually, this movie had a different color palette than the first girl.
Yes, it did.
It did, yeah.
James Gunn talked about that.
Yeah, so when you see Nebula this time, this is Nebula that I'm familiar with from the comic because she has the purple in her face. Mm-hmm. She has more contrast. Uh-huh. She was a washed out blues in the first because he banned all purple from the first movie.
He did.
Why?
He wanted a very graphic, these certain colors look. And he really did get that. But because he's changed the previous time frame reference to he's moved Star-Lord's I guess developmental time frame reference forward, he's added the purple into it. Plus we're getting more exploration of the galaxy, so the purples come in. But he was still locked down on the color palette, so the purples included, but there were a lot of bright whites in this.
Yeah, there was.
Those are the two things that got added, whereas some of the washout and deep blues were eliminated in favor of those.
It was kind of interesting also in this how Star-Lord gets superpowers and then loses superpowers.
Yes.
That's pretty quickly.
Well, see, my question is did he actually lose them? If he's part god...
Yeah.
See, I thought it was tied to the planet itself.
That's, yeah. Like,
that's, but, like, see, this is the thing, though. It seemed to be
sketchy.
Tied to Ego.
Yeah.
And they temporarily destroyed Ego because, honestly, if he's a celestial, he's not dead.
Yeah.
Right.
We all know this.
Right.
So as he comes back, do Peter's powers come back?
The other question is, if he were to meet another celestial, does he have to be related specifically to that celestial, or can he draw on their power as well?
So
or has he always... Wouldn't he have always had that power, or did he have to be in close proximity?
He didn't know.
He didn't know about it, and he didn't have proximity to
that. Well, that's
my question. But that's
why he was able to hold the stone.
But Ken, that's my question is that did he all of a sudden like it dissipate from his hands when they killed him because he thought that it should because he was told that it would, like, was it more in his brain?
I was talking to Kylan about it and I'm like, well, maybe he just ran out, like he's not used to having this power.
See,
and it only lasts
also,
for a certain amount of time.
See, technically the light is still there
because
well
it's just the material things that would be destroyed,
like, energy does, you can't destroy energy just changes,
right?
So I think technically, like now he's just like level one because he's just now finding this out.
Mm-hmm.
But he should still be able to tap into it because Ego was able to still tap into it because he took out an entire fleet of people. He was like light years away from the planet.
Right, and Ego traveled the cosmos planting seeds in other planets. So he still had the ability to tap the light even from the other side.
Right.
But he's full celestial.
That's why I'm sure that it has to come up later.
Does that make him a demi-celestial?
Demi-celestial. Peter is a battery.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
He took a bunch of it out of him.
Exactly.
That's
true. He's recharging.
That
brings up what Andy said. What race actually are the Collector and...
They're celestials,
I believe they were celestials.
I think they are.
Yeah.
I say, one of the ones we know are specifically celestials out of Marvel. What's his name from Fantastic Four, I think, is a celestial officially, isn't he?
Who?
They made him Galactus.
Galactus, no. Galactus is...
Galactus is...
He's a separate...
Okay.
No, the Celestials, don't they all have names like those or something? There's like the leader...
They're all like, they're kind of like Time Lords in their naming, but No, I think what you're thinking of, Ken, is that Galactus has heralds, and that each of the heralds is different. The Silver Surfer is a herald of Galactus.
Right.
So I don't know if we're going forward with that. There's a possibility that if Peter is going to meet other Celestials, if can he tap that light? Is it a, is it proximity right. that he tap can that. Use it?
He's got, I was just thinking the same.
He can tap that.
Just on as an aside, whenever someone says like I tap that booty or whatever, I always picture them sticking like a root beer tap. Yeah. On
Excuse me.
Yeah, just one moment, please.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Wait for the foam to go down.
Another one I want to get into because he was such, I think, an even better character in this movie than before was Yondu.
Yeah.
Yondu was fantastic.
I think you couldn't not grow to like Yondu through the course of the movie.
No.
Yeah. Knowing the motivations behind him saving Peter ultimately and not returning him to his
Although
dad.
It does seem like whatever company manufactures those flying arrow things, they would be more popular. Like, everyone would have one.
Yeah.
If they're like that. Like, why would they even have guns and stuff anymore? Everybody would just be standing around whistling.
Well, but I don't know.
I think that's probably a rare... I get the feeling that's like a rare weapon.
Yeah,
like,
a rare
You'd also
sort of
have
thing.
To be willing to have a fin installed in your brain.
True.
Right.
But I wonder if that's... If that is, like, a unique thing. Does anyone know from the comics?
Well, by the end, the other guy is trying to use it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, when he stabs
Drax. Oh, that's true.
Yeah, Drax got stabbed the chest.
Well, other people can use it, but, I mean, like, is there more than one of them? Or is it something that's, like, a unique?
It seemed to be a rarity. Because
I didn't read... I wasn't a reader or guardian, so that was kind
of... And by the way, that other character who I can't think of the name of, but that's James Gunn's brother.
I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah, I heard finally that was...
Yeah, his brother. I think his brother has been in like every movie he's ever done.
Oh, okay. Oh, so
I was gonna say I've seen him.
Yeah,
in
so
he's Glenn Howard. Yeah. For James Gunn.
Yeah, exactly. And his best friend. Well, for anyone who doesn't know, his best friend is Michael Rosenbaum.
Who was
Lex Luthor on Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
He was the diamond faced guy
who was
with Sylvester Stallone's
that's
character.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was him.
That was actually a surprise for a lot of people, was Stallone in this.
Yes.
That spoiler was only released about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
See, I thought we heard rumors that he was in it already.
It was, no. There were rumors that he was in it. But the full spoiler as to, like, his significance in the movie came out just a couple weeks ago. Because basically his character is one of the original Guardians from the comics.
Right, in fact, the group, because when he said, well, no, I used to hang out with the group,
and they
were kind of like, wait, you guys
are? And then
are?
You see them individually, and you see the whole group at the end credit.
The
that's the original
guy.
Guardians of the Galaxy in the comics.
Yeah.
From the year, is it 3000 or something?
Yeah.
See, my feeling on that was, this happens to me with a lot of movies, is I don't see the character when it's like someone like Stallone or somebody.
It's just
like,
Stallone.
Oh, it's Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Like, it takes you out
that's
of
just it.
It.
It does stand out as Stallone. The rest of them, like, it's like, I knew it was Michelle Yeoh, but like they did such a good job of like
I didn't know that.
Messing
who was
her
she,
up.
Though? Which one was she?
She was one of the Ravagers with Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the dark hair.
Why would you use Michelle Yeoh and then not do all kinds of martial arts?
Because it was a cameo thing.
Yeah, they all wanted
cameo.
It's like how in The Force Awakens, it got the cast of The Raid on there.
Right.
It's like one of the greatest fighting movies ever, but they just run from
monsters.
Well,
it was the same as one of the other presences with that group at the end was, is it called Mainframe? It was like, you only hear her voice.
Yeah.
That was Miley Cyrus.
Oh, really?
Oh.
So, I mean, there were all sorts of little cameos.
There's another one with Sean Gunn that Vicky just pointed out to me. I didn't realize.
I know, at least in the first one.
He's Rocket.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah, he's
Rocket.
The physical Rocket
on set. He's the green screen Rocket. He's on his knees. James Gunn's brother, Sean Gunn.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, that's awesome.
He's on his knees the entire time with the green suit and balls all over.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Batista's sitting there petting him.
Yeah, he's the on-screen Rocket. He did it the first and second movie.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know where we go from here.
Yeah, it all kind of stops. It's like,
okay. Speaking of Batista,
I said
I was going to bring this up.
Oh, yeah,
I told you I was going to bring this up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, we know there's this one part, and Ken, where are you going? Because I want to bring this up for you.
No, I'm listening.
Okay. There's
he's making sure the dog isn't eating me.
There's this one awkward moment where Ego is talking about creating himself, and Drax asks him if he has a penis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Apparently, this is an in-joke among wrestlers.
Okay.
And I didn't know about this. I found it out that they specifically made sure that Dave Bautista had to ask this because during interviews, it's become a thing for interviewers, like during interviews of wrestlers, to ask them how Bautista's hung. It's apparently a thing, and they're basically, you know, how big is Bautista, how is he hung, And it's apparently spread behind the scenes at wrestling, and so that's why they made sure that he was the one to ask if there was a penis.
I've not heard this one.
I only knew
about
so,
yeah. That's funny.
So with Batista, with the wrestling, I'm only knew the rats that sneak into his hotel room.
Oh, yes. He's told stories about waking up in there, because he was married while he was wrestling and stuff.
Yeah.
And he'd wake up and routinely throwing people, because girls would sneak into his room. He's like, dude, I'm gonna get busted here.
Yeah, his wife's a pole dancer.
Hell, we've all
well,
she's,
no, this is
no she is. She's a pole dancing yeah. champion.
The
like,
struggle
she's legit.
Is and the struggle.
His first wife.
Right.
Is
real.
Kind of
it is real.
Yeah, she surprised him in a hotel room.
No.
In,
can't
on
count
somewhere.
The time
he was at home.
Okay.
And she came all the way.
Out.
Oh, it's the
Yeah.
So yeah, I had to be. And then there was Stan Lee's cameo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which finally well, confirmed the rumor.
Yeah.
That but, all of his cameos are connected.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I say, is that was that the thing about him being a watcher or something?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
That confirmed. I mean, and he because he when he was telling the stories to the guys, he was like, "Yeah, there was that one time I was a FedEx guy. Like
right.
that was in that was in Captain America.
Yeah.
Right. Like that. So it's basically meant to
right
confirm that
the,
he, everything's
yeah.
connected.
Right before I saw the movie, I the rumor had popped up like
yeah.
The day before.
Yeah, it was right before.
See, it's all connected. He's a watcher. It's like, okay, what?
And he's
it
makes
sense.
Sense.
It makes,
yeah.
makes sense.
And how many cameos
yeah.
has he pre
and
the,
and
yeah,
thing,
yeah,
the thing
he's
that,
filmed a lot.
It
so
makes
that.
You wonder, though, because this came out kind of as a fan theory a while ago,
yeah.
and it makes you wonder if they
like,
planned it from the beginning or if they
it.
Went with the fans and they were like, yeah, yeah, it's all connected.
I doubt they planned
it's
it. From
a,
the
yeah,
beginning.
Exactly.
Right. It's an idea that made sense, so like, let's go
yeah.
with it.
Yeah. Which means they've pulled in the Deadpool universe. Because
that's true.
He cameoed,
well,
in,
yes.
he cameoed
oh,
in Deadpool.
Yes,
true.
He did.
But it could be a
yeah, but
a
you know he also
thing.
Cameoed
yeah,
in
true.
The old Spider-Man movies and stuff.
That
means-
exactly. That pulls
it pulls
it
all in together.
But that's
alt realities. Alt realities.
Yeah, Vicky just pointed this out. That's a good idea. That means the Fantastic Flop is not. Connected anything because he wasn't in that
that's
one.
True
right
he's never cameoed in the Fantastic Flop
he did
so.
Not he cameoed in the earlier series but not in
did he
the earlier movies with
no they didn't make any earlier movies.
No, there's not. Nothing exists for Fantastic Four.
No, they haven't yet made.
Well, they haven't made a good one.
They
no.
haven't made any Fantastic Four movies. I don't know what you're talking
they
about.
They should someday.
well, you know, that's because nobody knows
oh,
how to handle
it. Oh, and then the surprise cameo on the what looked like a pleasure planet, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
The snowy pleasure planet,
yes.
Howard the Duck showed up
that's
again.
That's right. Now, they keep saying, we're not going to make a Howard the Duck movie, but you know, they've done enough of it
he
already.
He is James Gunn's favorite character. That's why he showed up at the end of the first one.
And then
he was he probably was just like, I have to make him show up now. And
Kylie, you know this from Mighty Marvel Geeks. It seems like Howard's actually starting to get more popularity again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, the thing was, like,
was
after...
what was it called? Too Soon? Did you read that?
Yeah.
But,
well, there was Deadpool the Duck.
Yes.
They
Howard
did
the Duck was
they
in
did
it,
a,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, after the first Guardians, he got enough traction that there was a Howard the Duck comic
mm-hmm.
that got canceled like maybe 4 or 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you now because of Guardians, also he's going to get traction again.
Right.
But I don't know if we're going to see another series.
Well, the funny thing is...
we might see him popping up
you got
everywhere.
The cameo from Howard the Duck and you got Cosmo the dog.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It was all of the ones who escaped when the collector's place
yeah,
exploded
right.
from the first
mm-hmm.
one. They were
oh, what about
popping up everywhere.
Adam Warlock at the very end.
Oh,
yes.
That hasn't been mentioned yet.
Yes, that's going to be...
Well, that's the setup for the next movie, I believe.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and interestingly, Adam Warlock worked with the Guardians and Peter Quill in the comics, so he's obviously going to be an adversary, at least at the beginning.
Well, also, wasn't that one of the major theories for who Peter's father was after the first movie?
Yeah.
No, there were rumors
that...
There were
major rumors.
There were rumors
that
he was
yeah.
in the collector's collection, too.
And the
right.
thing is, with the movie, it's a different father than in the comics. It's
right,
not...
Yeah.
Ego is not his dad in the comics, so it is different anyway. But yeah, they... There was a... In the collector's room, there was a cocoon...
Right.
In the first movie that a lot of people thought was a mention of Adam Warlock without saying so. And James Gunn said he had it in there, but he never intended it to be a Warlock reference.
Yeah.
So that's why this time around in the post credits, he made it look totally different as a cocoon.
Yeah.
And it was very techno and that kind of thing. That's why it
okay.
looks so
right.
different. And how about David Hasselhoff? Come on, we got
yeah,
to
yeah.
talk
yeah.
about David
oh,
Hasselhoff.
God. Especially with that Baywatch movie coming out.
See, so now Hasselhoff can say that he was in a Marvel movie.
He's part of the
now,
Marvel
right?
universe now. He was in the movie.
He was in Nick Fury.
And that song.
Yeah, we don't want to pretend. I'm just pretending that didn't happen.
That song at the very end of the credits, that was Hasselhoff rapping. In case you missed
was
that.
It? Yeah.
That was an original song for the movie. It was the only original one on the soundtrack, and that was Hasselhoff doing the rap that James Gunn wrote for him.
That's awesome.
Hey, you know, I have to admit, it broke my heart to see the. Well, you know, number one, when he lost to Milano, and pretty much the Awesome Mix 1 was gone at that point.
Yeah.
But then to see the Walkman get crushed and Awesome Mix 2 is gone.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. You know, like, and that was like, the connection to his mother was completely severed at that point.
Yeah.
You know, they find out that, oh, yeah, I put the cancer in your mom's brain. Right. And I'm like...
That was a shocker. And just like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah, my theory was that's why he left, that like some cosmic emanation from him caused the cancer.
Yeah, that's
like
what I was thinking.
So he had to leave the planet so she would.
Yeah,
you know.
But then,
funny thing is, he said that like he was thinking that would cause Peter to not have any problems and still stay with him.
Yeah, right, no kidding. Yeah. No kidding.
I killed your mama, but you should still come with me.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Well, we're gonna send baby Groovin and blow your brain up.
Yeah. And then he gets the Zune at the end with like 300.
That Zune was fantastic.
The fact that he got a Zune, which like no one uses.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, 300 songs.
All the kids on Earth use this.
But it frees up for the next Awesome Mix to be anything up to 2000.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
true. Yeah, it's true. Anything up through.
But theoretically, if he does still have his powers, he could just create another one.
That's true.
That's
you
true.
Just make a copy of his.
And as usual, like the first one with the music, it worked really well with the way the scenes were. And I told Kyle because the actual track list and album came out before a week before the movie. I told Kylan that Come a Little Bit Closer was going to be some form of fight scene.
Yep.
There was no way, based on the lyrics of that song, there was not going to be a fight involved.
Right.
And when that came up and Yondu's arrow started going, I'm like, there we go.
See,
I love that scene.
I don't know. For me, Awesome Mix 2 doesn't seem, just personally for recognizable songs, there were some good ones on there, but there's a lot of them are like almost like deep cuts on it, almost.
Yeah.
It wasn't as, like, the first one was hit after hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
Right.
This one, it was just, like, every other or something
like
that.
But it fit the way the movie changed.
Right.
Yeah.
The movie was deeper, so the songs were deeper.
Yeah.
I didn't have any trouble singing along in my head.
The funny thing was...
I didn't either.
That first song, ELO's song, that Groot was dancing to, every time I've seen that in something, someone's dancing. Like,
yeah.
it's because it was in the episode of Doctor Who that no one talks about.
Oh, yeah.
With the creature that absorbed people that
I don't
know
what you're talking about.
Every season there's one episode you don't talk about, and that's the one. Mm. And that the guy's dancing around his bedroom to that damn song.
Yes.
That's what I pictured when I first heard the song, when I first heard the soundtrack, because I did listen to it before.
That's
I thought
one of my favorite Doctor Who episodes, actually.
Really?
Is that the one, are you talking about the one with like the Doctor Who fan club? Like the I love that episode.
And well that creature was actually created by a kid.
Okay.
They had a contest, and
the
kid created
was
that creature.
Silly,
and that was
but
the episode
Doctor
itself
Who.
Is okay, but
you know,
I think the creature
was just
kind of.
I was just glad it wasn't yet another group of identical, monotonous aliens that walk very slowly and speak in unison.
We'll have Andy's take on Doctor Who on another episode.
Yeah,
right.
The science of Doctor Who with Andy.
No, we don't need that. It's not about science, but yeah, I mean, what about Teenage Groot?
Oh,
that was my favorite Groot.
I wonder how much they were going to age him by the end, because, you know, he's toddler Groot throughout the whole thing, and then teenage Groot playing a video game.
Yeah.
Oh, just sitting there with a messy room.
Oh, God, that was fantastic.
The best part is Peter can now understand him.
Yes, that's the other thing. He's been around him long
enough
he can understand him.
Well,
will you clean up your branches?
I mean, if he has planet powers... Yeah.
That's true. And can he just do it because he's been around him, or is it because he's got that celestial edge to him now?
Well, Rocket doesn't have a celestial edge as far as we know.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but how much is Rocket just making up?
It's hard to tell.
That's true.
Which I need to work on my Rocket costume because I want to carry the big guns.
Well, that's how deep Rocket got into this too. If you look at it, you realize.
Yeah, you found out a bit of truth
really
about Rocket.
Did a great job of making sure every character got shine.
Yeah, and the whole the relationship between Gamora and Nebula.
Yeah.
Because Nebula was supposed to become part of the Guardians, and so. you had to get to the point where she wasn't trying to kill her sister anymore.
I mean, in my experience, it's like, that is what family is.
Yes.
You're supposed to fight and hate and kill each other.
But you're not supposed to actually try to kill each other.
Right.
Right.
Have you ever worked in a family business?
I have.
There are reasons why I take vacation days.
Right.
Gamora pulled her out of the ship after she
just started. Right. And I mean, that's the thing is, like, they're trying to almost kill each other the whole time, but then when it comes down to actually...
The final shot.
It's like they can't.
But no, even in the first one, when Gamora tries to save Nebula when she's falling off of Ronan's ship,
mm-hmm.
and Nebula chops her own hand off,
so
that she can fall.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I would absolutely chop my own hand off sometimes to get away.
Yeah, it's very much.
Speaking of big guns, that one Gamora, she gets part of the ship
and puts it
on her shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
that was a little strange to me because they never really established in any earlier scenes how strong she was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was kind of like, suddenly she's super strong.
Well,
but it wasn't like.
But
important.
That was the adding of the camp to the story that I like.
There was quite a bit more camp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when they were flying through, like, the 700 jump zones.
Yeah.
That was kind of crazy.
Going through, apparently,
I saw some things on blogs that were talking about things they saw on some of those planets when they jumped through.
Yeah.
And they were saying how, you know, they'd have to go back and watch it another time to see if those were the characters they thought they were. So they're like, it's probably like distant Marvel references, mm-hmm. but there's maybe mm-hmm. significance on some of those spots too.
Right.
Well, also, one of the other things I liked a lot was the interaction with Peter and Rocket. The dueling pilots.
Yes.
That was funny.
Yes.
That was
fighting
funny.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
So, and I still say my favorite one-liner out of the whole movie. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mary Poppins
that
cool,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah, he had to establish first that Mary Poppins was cool.
Right.
And then
I will
Mary
say,
Poppins.
They did a really good job of making me have, like, an emotional connection mm-hmm. to Yondu before any mm-hmm. of the other stuff starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And this movie basically ends kind of on a downer.
Yeah.
Like, they called
you know?
It the bar at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Because it was in the window.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So it was just like, by the end, I've seen a lot of people post, if you don't have a tear in your eye or are sniffling at some point during this movie, you know,
and I'm
wrong.
Usually not one that does that at movies, and you know,
me neither. And I was just like,
I was just
oh
like,
oh my god.
Well, I know. Yeah. I was just like, I'm sitting there like,
time to have some more.
And because and that's what worked. Like, they got you on Yondu's side so strongly.
It almost made me want to go home and call my dad
that by
afterwards.
The time,
you
know, right? Like, he got to the end and he was like, let me do this. And I was like, oh, he's going to die.
He's like, please save him.
And, and Peter's, Peter's reaction was so emotional because he suddenly realized that, Yondu had been his dad.
Well, and then that's just a testament to his acting, though, too, because I felt like he was really feeling that.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it looked genuine.
He did, he did a great job.
When he looked at Peter, he said, he may have been your father, but
I'm
he
your
wasn't
daddy.
Your daddy.
I was your daddy.
Your daddy. And I was just like...
That's why I have all the dad feels. Yeah.
Like, all the feels.
And then when all the Ravagers show up at the end and they give him the tribute that they said they wouldn't... Yeah. Yeah.
But didn't Peter still have his helmet thing?
No, it was smashed.
Yeah, it was smashed.
It was smashed.
Yeah,
it got
smashed halfway through the big battle.
That's why he had to have that... exo suit that mm-hmm. Rocket only had the
celestial. He could live. He could survive space.
Yeah, because he was like half frozen.
But he couldn't get the thing to.
It wouldn't come off because
Yondu
put
it
on him, and then
he
couldn't get it off.
Yeah,
it wouldn't come off. Yeah.
So I would always wonder if two people would be really close if that would have like.
It would. I think it was just a single person.
Yeah,
thing. Yeah.
I don't know.
But I mean, this movie just worked really well on a lot of levels.
In my opinion, this may be real close to one of the best Marvel movies they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Just by the way the story works, the way they got the humor just right, the heaviness of the story was just right. But
when the first Guardians came out, it kind of jumped way up on my list of Marvel movies I love. Like it's right near the top for sure. And this one, now I'm just like, it's one and two. It's kind of like, it would be one right after the other.
Which to me is surprising. I'm usually not one who likes the sequels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or I like the sequel tons more than the original. But this, they're like neck and neck.
Yeah.
They really are, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Do we need a brownie meter on this one?
I don't think we need... There's no question we liked it.
I mean,
yeah. Like, brownie meter.
I would
our
like
brownie meter
brownies.
Is our 1 to 5.
Yeah,
but
you're
our brownie meter.
Because of our brownie thing.
No, the whole brownie thing.
Because of our brownie.
Is that how you rate brownies?
Yeah. Yes. Well, it's just how we rate things in general, how many brownies there were.
Yeah, why would
how
you
many brownies?
Why wouldn't you want brownies instead of stars?
Exactly.
It's because...
I don't need stars. I want brownies.
Right. When the show first started, I was talking about brownies like every...
And then
issue.
When we first had the first brownie contest,
like brownies?
Con-Con-Con. No, Andy's gonna make.
And now brownies. I think of some new recipes for next con.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm already working on drinks.
So, let's go ahead and get ready to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
See it. If you saw the first, if you liked the first, you're unquestionably gonna like this one.
Yeah.
It is sillier than the first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the same kind of story, but I
but
think
not
it,
in a bad way.
If
yeah.
you enjoyed
yeah.
just the fun of the first, like
mm-hmm.
if you're looking for a super serious action movie, it's not.
And it,
no,
it develops it develops the characters much more and gives
yes.
you more
mm-hmm.
about them and leading into them joining the wider universe.
Of course, I imagine
Infinity
everyone
War.
Listening to this has probably already seen it.
I was
going to
say, yeah.
We've delivered quite a few spoilers.
But at least it still had
yeah.
all the explosions that I like to see in a movie, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
It had a...
I like the fact that they finally
explosion.
Get off the island
exactly.
at the end.
Yes, the coconut radio worked. Yes.
Oh, that was a radio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, now
I'm
making...
Yeah.
It's a toothbrush.
Yeah, the shape was confusing.
Amazing.
Yeah,
and if you don't haven't seen it yet, stay through the entire credits.
Oh, yes.
But
the way to the
you
end.
Know what I really liked about this end credit scene is the other Marvel movies. It's like you sit through boring 20 minutes of like scrolling names on
mm-hmm.
a black screen, and then you get the payoff.
Yeah, okay.
This had stuff all throughout.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. There were dancing characters in the credits. There are
and there were like four after credit or mid credits.
Five credits.
Five.
Yeah,
okay.
And make sure to watch for the I Am Groots throughout
yes.
the credits
yes.
that get replaced. But and actually, oh, at the very end, you know how you always have the no animals were harmed thing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. There
no
was a statement at
creatures.
The end that said. No raccoons or tree creatures were harmed in the making of this movie. However, the same cannot be said of their handlers.
Yeah, that was actually at the end of the first one. Too.
Yeah.
No. Vicky brought it up a minute ago and reminded me. Rocket's not a raccoon. He's a trash panda.
Yes.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
No. He's neither, but anyway.
Yeah. Is trash panda worse?
Yeah.
So much worse.
So much worse. He was actually almost happy with it until he
yeah.
found out it was worse.
Another running joke in the whole movie being that Peter...
I'm hoping we'll actually
with.
Get Rocket's origin at some point.
But it's a sad origin. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's...
Like,
he
they
was...
change stuff in the movies. Like,
true,
Peter's
but...
Origin
I mean,
different.
You can't go too far with changing it because he was a genetic experiment.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you can't...
Yeah.
But it's
so
almost like it's almost like getting the Wolverine origin, really, with Rocket. It's kind
yeah.
of,
oh, yeah.
you know,
yeah.
he was experimented
really
on,
his,
so.
Okay. So was he originally a raccoon?
No.
No, he's an actual different species that looks like raccoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, though, after this...
But you're such a cute puppy.
Oh, yeah. Can I pet the cute puppy?
Yes.
Mantis
yes.
was funny.
And then he bites her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a joke.
Yeah, Drax's practical jokes were great.
Yeah.
I love your
but
humor.
I'm wondering, after this, and you see what Ego did on the planets, and those big mountains of gelatinous stuff,
mm.
are we going to see that in anything else?
I think so.
Probably. I think we will, yeah.
I think so.
So it'll be
up.
Interesting because the one almost took over the entire town.
That
Earth.
Was that
yeah.
was reminiscent of the Blob. Like it,
yeah.
James
yeah.
Gunn had to have been going with the Blob on that one. And actually, the one that was on Earth, the older couple who says, "What's that?" or "What's going on?" or whatever, that's his parents.
Ah.
James Gunn puts everyone
oh,
in his
yeah.
movies, all his friends, all his family, they're all in his movies.
Basically, the moral of this story is get to know a director.
Yeah, you'll end up in their movies.
Start when they're still not in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So Cam, when
right, that's what I was just thinking.
We all know Cam, so we'll be in one of his movies one day.
Exactly.
I expect to be in an extra in one of his movies.
That's right.
And when you do the Moon Knight movie,
yeah.
think about me.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
So I think it's that we're at a good place to start wrapping this up.
Stay mm-hmm. in school. Don't do drugs.
don't text and drugs.
Take your vitamins.
Be excellent to each other.
We
eat
all
your veggies.
Galaxy
party
team.
On,
see
dude.
It.
Put on your seatbelt.
That's right. The one, actually, the one, I don't know. Do we want to bring up the whole thing about why most drive-ins aren't carrying this?
No,
why we're not. We're not bringing it up. We're
okay.
going positive. Go see
okay.
Guardians.
Don't
go
eat
see
the dragon. Yeah. Don't eat the dragon or the pen.
That was to
Cassie,
by
that's
the way.
Cassie.
Not, but it's good as a general rule to not
yeah,
eat dragons
eat
and pens.
Dragons and pens.
So, any other thing to bring up other than remember Oddball in a week and a half, May 20th, the Riverside Ramble down Canton, Ohio, Stadium Park. It's right underneath Mercy Hospital.
Be there. Spend some money on the awesome artists and play some games and
dress up.
Get the eyeballs to go in the river and grab some stickers from us, whatever.
That's right. And with that, remember, you can always find... Well, actually, we have just two guests on here anyway. How can people get a hold of you, Andy, if they want to talk to you?
Call me.
They all know how to get a hold of Andy. His links are always in the notes when I bring things up. So.
On Facebook is the easiest way.
Okay.
You know how that works.
Yeah.
Cool. Jesse, if anyone actually wanted to get to know who you are and stuff.
You can't.
Okay.
Jesse doesn't want to know people.
Match.com, Tinder.
Yeah, that'll come up later when Cam and I finish our plans.
Black people meet.
Wait, what's that one they have with like farmers or something?
Oh, farmers only.
Farmers only.
Why would I even know
one
that?
It's just like, wait.
You don't have to be lonely.
Like super specific.
And farmers only.
Okay, well, I guess it's time for that. Remember, you can find us on geekwatch1.com, on all social media, it's geekwatch1. We're also on the Tangibound and the Weeby Geeks networks at tangiboundnetwork.com, weebygeekspc.com. And with that, for...
Kylie can be found at Nude Pregnant Mr. T Impersonator.
And you know this.
That's right.
He searched.
Well, for Andy and Jesse and Heather and Kylan and Dawn and Vicky and myself...
You're not Miss Dawn and Miss Vicky anymore?
Sometimes.
I beat him too much
for Miss Andy.
Just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.